Today on the Monocle Arts Review, we're staying right here in London to take a look at a trio of art exhibitions on show. We'll be taking a look at the work of two American photographers. One, a pioneer in colour photography, Saul Leiter, and the other, Alex Soth, whose cinematic images depict the life and soul of the USA through those who live there. And to round off the show, we'll be x-raying the work of pop artist Joe Tilson in an exhibition featuring two decades worth of his sketches and notebooks. That's all to come on today's edition of the Monocle Arts Review with me, Gillian DeBias. Our first stop today is the Science Museum for the first major UK exhibition of the work by American photographer Alex Soth. Joining me on the show to talk us through today's art selection is art dealer Kathleen Fox-Davies. Welcome to the show, Kathleen.
Hi, thank you very much.
Now, before we start looking at this specific exhibition, Gathered Leaves, can you talk to us a little bit about the background of the photographer, Alex Soth?
Absolutely. Alex Soth is an American photographer born and raised in Minnesota, where he now chooses to live, which is pretty incredible seeing that he's of international notoriety now. But his focus with his work is on what is quintessentially Americana. He calls it the big middle space, and it's the bit of America that you sort of fly over, not coastal. And he really sees it as the heart and soul of what defines American culture and society. And so that's what we're actually exploring here in the decades worth of work that is being shown in the exhibition Gathered Leaves.
I've read that it covers four different themes. Can you talk us
it
through
is
those
four,
themes?
It's four very different bodies of work that were created over a decade of the artist's career. The very first body of work is called Sleeping by the Mississippi. Then there's Niagara, there's Broken Manual, and then Songbook, which is the most recent series that he has produced. And it's actually, these were all published as books before they were ever made to be photographs for a gallery wall. The most interesting is Sleeping by the Mississippi because that was his very first series in the photographic world. He wanted to be a painter. He didn't think he was good enough. And so he found other mediums, which ended up being the camera, that was highly successful. So at age 29, he took off on this grand American road trip, if you will, which is a great tradition of artists and writers alike. And he spent 5 years traveling the 2,000-mile route from where the Mississippi River came through where he lives down to where it opens up into the Gulf of Mexico. And this was 5 years of his life, jumping from bank to bank, meeting people, really going where his eye found interest and documenting what he saw, be it the landscapes, the broken down homes, desolate spaces, moments of joy, quite odd, sometimes characters that he sought out that defined this area of the United States to him.
And do you think there's a recurring theme or sensibility in his work that sort of surfaces?
Absolutely. I mean, he definitely has, he is a wanderlust in himself. He is a traveler. And you see that in all four of the series that are being showed at the media space right now. With the Sleeping by the Mississippi, it really is the river as a metaphor for dreams of a better life to come, which is essentially the American dream. So you do see that cropping up in each of his series.
It's interesting. This exhibition is on show at the Science Museum. It doesn't seem a natural place to have this kind of documentary.
It's a very strange fit, but it's the media space within the Science Museum. And the media space is the home of the National Photography Archive, which is normally set up in Bradford, but not a lot of people get to. So it's an opportunity for a small amount of some of the very best of what photography has to offer to be shown in quite a bizarre space, to be very honest, because you don't really associate photography with science. It's a great space and it's an opportunity for us because it's quite new to be seeing different sort of museum quality shows that don't necessarily have a commercial or any other sort of motivation behind it other than just showing the best of what is happening in photography and what is in the National Collection.
Gathered Leaves by Alex Soth is on at the Science Museum until the 28th of March. And of course, if you're not in London, you can reference his interesting work in books and online. Next, we're moving to London's Alec Christo Gallery for a behind-the-scenes view of the work of British pop artist Joe Tilson. The exhibition, called Joe Tilson, Words and Images, will display diaries and notebooks by the artist from the 1970s to the present day, alongside corresponding works. Can you explain Tilson's importance in the British pop art scene?
Absolutely. Tilson was actually one of the founding figures of the British pop art movement. He was probably the most political in his motivations for his work than the other artists of the period were, but his contemporaries were Peter Blake, Richard Hamilton, David Hockney. He's a big name. He's a member of the Royal Academy. He's held a retrospective in 2002, which is a long time ago now, at the Royal Academy, and his works are held in museum collections internationally. This show is at a world-class commercial art gallery here in London, and it's really special for a multitude of reasons. But for me, it's Alan Christea, the gallery owner, has been working with this artist since he, from his very first job as a graduate student, entering his very first gallery. And this show is so much about Joe Tilson and his work, but also the amazing relationship between a trusted dealer and an artist's creative process, and the trust and the friendship that can be made there. Joe is notoriously a very private man. In 1970, when these notebooks actually began, marked a shift in his own work from being pop art, highly politicized, to becoming a bit more introverted and really turning to a cultural history and what he calls a ecological art, rather than it being about the hedonistic consumerism of the 1960s. He was deeply frustrated that with all the talk of political activism and the art that was pushing for political activism, that nothing really happened. Society didn't change. Things just went on as normal. So he moved himself out of London. He bought a very large piece of land in Wiltshire and also in Tuscany and began reconnecting with the land. And you see that through his work. So this is a deeply private person who's grown a little bit suspicious, maybe even, of society, that is literally opening up his most intimate thoughts and processes and inspirations in 35 years worth of notebooks that he's opening to the public because he trusts a dealer.
Well, I was going to say, you talk about that trust.
And exactly.
You feel very privileged as a viewer to be able to see, you know, behind the curtain,
as it were. And you absolutely feel that privilege when you walk into the gallery. The notebooks are incredible. They are the mad genius ramblings and scratchings of an artist as he's finding new footing and finding his way. There's a lot of references to earth, wind, fire, water, the basic elements of human life. He's reverting back to classical theology, something bigger than himself, older than himself, bigger than what was happening in contemporary society. And you see these grand themes being worked out where it starts with words and ideas and notes from annotations from other great artists and writers, and then you see it being worked into doodles, and then it becomes a piece, and then right next to it you've got the piece that it turned into on the wall. They're simply the prints that are being shown in this exhibition. The artist has been making prints for 45 years and actually was quite avant-garde when he started. So they're prints that have drawings, scratchings, tears, collage elements added, words, breaking all the rules of what printmaking is meant to be. And you see how he's getting there, this rebel of ecological art, so to speak.
And do you think it helps you, if not read into the artwork, which we've all maybe seen and known, a little deeper? Or do you get something more than out of the art, having suddenly been able to get access to the process of his thoughts?
Joe Tilson is adamant that the viewer is meant to bring their own thoughts and experiences into the artwork and determine what it is on their own. These notebooks definitely help you see a little bit of what he was wanting, maybe, to see as he's creating the pieces. More than that, it's watching an evolution of an artist, because the show's actually broken into 5 titles, I believe, and you see how his work is changing over the years and being influenced by where he is and what's happening. In the notebooks, as he's aged, have actually turned more into also a document showing what he's done. So you'll have images from, he'll have studio pictures of paintings he's done with who it's sold to. You know, it's becoming almost an archival quality of what's going on in his life as he's becoming older, and perhaps a lot of that information is slipping away in other ways.
Fascinating. Well,
Joe Tilson, Words and Images, is on from March 21st to May 7th at the Alan Christie Gallery. And the exhibition is complemented by a fully illustrated publication. So if you can't make the show, do try and get your hands on a copy of the catalogue. Our final art stop today is the Photographer's Gallery for another American photographer, this time the late Saul Leiter. Leiter was a pioneer in colour photography in the mid-1940s, for which he was criticised at the time. His work has inspired film directors such as Todd Haynes, who cited him as inspiration for his latest film, Carol. Kathleen, what do we see on show at this retrospective?
This is a rather interesting retrospective. It's quite academic in its approach, but you see every aspect of Saul Leiter, who up until 2006 was relatively unknown to the art world. He had no gallery representation. No one really knew who he was. He would pop up every once in a while in the 50s and 60s in a major museum show, but he was always the underdog, the unsung hero. The notoriety never really lasted. But as you said, Saul Leiter, he's considered one of the pioneers of early color photography, even though at the time he was never credited with that name. But he's also now considered part of the New York School of Celebrated Street Photographers. So you're looking at his contemporaries being William Klein, Lisette Model, Robert Frank, big names in photography. So it's a little bit strange that work of this quality from this show, from an artist of this talent, didn't really hit anyone's radar until 2006, when Steidl actually published a book on his color work. The exhibition starts with his black and white works. They've got a selection of paintings, his fashion work, and then ultimately what everyone's there to see, the color pieces. Mm-hmm. He actually moved to New York City wanting to become a painter. He's a self-taught artist. He wanted to be a painter.
And so you see that in the color photography.
You see that in his photographs, but when you see the paintings that he would show every once in a while in small East Village galleries in the 1940s, they're highly unsuccessful and not very inspirational. But you see how these ideas that he was never able to execute on canvas come to life in whole new ways through using, for lack of a better word, his camera lens as his paintbrush. So you've got images where there's such a shallow depth of field that you've got these massive dark spaces that actually look like, it, instead of it being a shadow, that it was actually just a paintbrush being brushed quickly across the surface. And he's using amazing framing techniques, and it's all about reflections and seeing through dirty glass or foggy glass. There's a real romanticism to the work that you don't find in other street photographers that were working during the time.
I mean, there's a humanism there, a soul, like they're down to people again and observing and watching the world go by.
Exactly. I mean, he was, Saul Leiter was more concerned with evoking an atmosphere with his pictures and capturing what would be called the decisive moment that was defining photography of that era. So it really was about the human element. You never have full focus on figures. They're always these shadowy silhouettes, or they are almost figures passing by. Mm. It's a fleeting moment that he is capturing, but there's so much of a narration behind it because of this visual poetry he's created through the color and the form, that they're beautiful.
And you can see why directors do get inspiration visually from him. Well, you can see the work by photographer Saul Leiter for yourself at the Photographer's Gallery in London until the 3rd of April. If you're not in London and are intrigued by the sound of his work, do search out the 2014 documentary featuring his life and work, In No Great Hurry. And that brings us to the end of today's show. Thanks to my guest, Kathleen Fox-Davies. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Gillian DeBias. The show was produced by Holly Fisher and researched by Fernando Augusto Pacheco. We'll be back the same time tomorrow for a weekly music review, where we'll be getting a little flavour of South America with the people behind Radio Cascabel. But for now, goodbye from me, and thanks for listening.